Okay. The first thing that I need to do, Lauren, is read the informed consent form to you.
Hey, I don't have any waters. Maybe ask. I don't have any. And I don't have access to them. You might wait till Dickie comes back and ask him. Oh, there's a little baby. Oh, my goodness. Dickie will be back in just a second. I'll check with him.
Okay. You are invited to participate in the Goosetown Oral History Project, a communication studies project coordinated by Leanne Howard at the University of Southern Indiana. She can be reached at USI, 8600 University Boulevard, Evansville, Indiana, 47712, 812-464-1741, or at lahoward@usi.edu. The interview for the project is voluntary and should take about an hour. Once the manuscript is finalized, you will be given the opportunity to read the transcript before it is submitted to the archives. At the time the interview is deposited, you will be mailed a copy for your records. If at any time and for any reason you would prefer not to answer any questions or you would like to stop participating, please let me know. You will not be penalized in any way for deciding to stop participation at any time. Should you choose to withdraw from the project, the materials will not be used in the study and the materials will be destroyed. For questions about your rights as a research participant or to discuss problems, complaints, or concerns about a research study, or to obtain information or offer input, contact the University of Southern Indiana Office of Sponsored Projects and Research Administration, 8600 University Boulevard, Wright Administration Room 104, Evansville, Indiana, 47712-3596, at 812-228-5149, or by email at rcr@usi.edu. We ask that you read this form and ask any questions you may have before agreeing to be a part of the study. So, at the end of the interview then, I'll ask you to sign the form giving permission for the interview to be used for research and that the interview will be placed in the library for anyone to use. The next thing I need to do is get some biographical information from you. So, your name...
Lauren, last name, Legate, L-E-G-A-T-E.
And your age?
60.
Your date of birth?
July 31st, 7/31/53.
And your birthplace?
Hollywood, California.
What was your father's occupation?
Theater director.
And your mother's occupation? And do you have any brothers?
Yeah, I have one alive and one dead.
And any sisters?
Three sisters.
And their occupations?
My one brother is a musician.
Okay.
I have one sister that works at AT&T. So I guess what customer service? One sister works in the legal department, the county clerk's office, Westchester County, New York.
Westchester,
mm-hmm.
New York?
Yeah, Westchester County. It's in White Plains, but it's...
Okay.
My third sister, I'm not really sure what she's doing right now.
Okay. Okay. Do you know their educations?
Okay. One sister, high school graduate. One sister, college graduate. One sister didn't, I don't know how you want to put it, she didn't
graduate from college, but she's got college education. Some college, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. College credit.
Okay, college credit. Okay, that's her, that's me.
Okay. Are you married? And if so, the date of your marriage?
No.
Any children?
Yes, one.
Military service?
No.
Is there any other notes or information you'd wish to include about your biological or your biological data? Okay. And your mailing address?
320 Jefferson Avenue, Apartment A.
In the city then?
Yeah, 13.
Is Evansville, Indiana?
Yeah.
And the zip
is 13. 47713. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, we can start with the questions then.
Do you want to move? Would that help you, I think, maybe?
Yeah, right. That's fine.
This is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is fine. Thank you very much.
I don't know where else to go. I'd go into my office, but they're going to be working in there. Okay. Is that still too loud?
No, I think this will be okay. Thank you very much. Okay. First of all, how long have you lived in Goosetown?
This last time, I've been living here almost 8 years.
And so you lived here a time before for a period of time?
Yes.
For how long?
15 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the dates?
Yeah. Okay. From November of 1992 until April of 2004. That's not quite 15 years, but 2004. I lived in Goosetown, and then I lived in New York for a couple of years. When I came back, May of 2006 until now, I've been in this area.
Okay. Why do you choose to live in Goosetown?
Well, I like the neighborhood. I like being close to downtown. I consider it downtown, really. I live right across the street from where I work, which is probably one of the reasons I'm still here, part of it. But I just like the neighborhood. When I was in college, I lived in Goosetown, actually, to be honest. I've sort of, been downtown off and on, even going further back.
Give me ride for the years I've been knowing you. It's a pin and a pearl in it.
I want you to do me a favor. Can you let me hear you?
Can I talk to you in just a minute?
Okay.
I'll talk to you before church is over, okay? I need to talk to this lady right now.
This is love, letter to God, all for joy a day brings. Loving God is the greatest thing, to love His Son and to praise Jesus' name. The love of God is the joyous thing.
Can you run some love out for me? Take the answers off?
Okay.
I just need to put
it on. Okay. Kiss in the middle of the flower and that would pass it.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's okay. Can you describe what it's like to live in the Goosetown area?
It's colorful. It's colorful. That's probably. Well, I like the history and I like old things. And I mean, you know, naturally, you know, you got to keep progressing with new. But I love the old neighborhood. I love the old structures. I love the variety of people. I mean, literally, you have people of every economic structure that there is down here. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but I guess maybe too, because I've just been down here for so long. It's, you know, it's what's comfortable.
Okay. Can you describe an event that maybe represents what the neighborhood is like?
An event?
That's held in Goosetown?
Well, the Goosetown Festival, of course. But, I mean, all, you know, since they've been improving on the artist district and, you know, building it up, there's a lot going down. I love that. I mean, I love seeing it growing back up. I love seeing it becoming a colorful, safe place to be. I mean, I can remember when this was a dark place down here and it was not safe and people wouldn't even consider coming down here for an arts organization's event or to see a movie sitting outside. You know, we do a lot of things outside here. We have our youth groups that meet here. We do an event every summer on July 4th. We do a big, you know, block party, and we've been doing it now for years. And it's kind of become a well-known event. I don't know, you know, we've had a couple breaks where we didn't do it, but I think what, you know, a lot of the neighbors have said about feeling like, you know, they feel safe going out and sitting on their porches again, you know, walking around, going to the park, just walking around looking at houses, whatever it is. I think the more events going on down here, it just makes people feel safer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you say we have this event, are you talking about...
The Potter's Wheel.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Can you explain what the Potter's Wheel is?
Potter's Wheel is a church and an outreach ministry. We're going into our 10th year. And we started out with some really gracious donations of, you know, the building and, you know, startup funds. We've grown from a really small congregation to... It's growing. It continues to grow. And we've got like 5 different youth programs now. We have a GED program. We have a food ministry. We give food out every Sunday after our church service to anybody. You don't have to qualify. We have a clothing bank that's open twice a week. We do a soup kitchen twice a week. We have a parenting class with incentive programs for expectant parents and parents of small children. We have a preschool program called Roar. We give the kids free books every week they come to it. Read with them and to them. We read to 6-month-old babies. Work crafts with the kids. And we have a 12-step program that meets here on Saturdays.
Okay.
Name a few.
What do you... You've talked about what you like about the area, but are there things that you dislike about the area?
Well, the things that I would say I dislike, honestly, though, are being fixed. There's been so much improvement, you know, in this neighborhood in the last 4 or 5 years. A lot of the houses that are being torn down, it's a shame to see something that, you know, was once so beautiful and such a, you know, such an architectural beauty being torn down, but they haven't been taken care of and they're dangerous. They were dark. They were dirty. There was a lot of arson. Just in 7 years, the things that I've seen change, the crime reports.
Excuse me.
I can't really say anything right now, because honestly, anything, like I said, that bothered me in the past, I see being fixed. Is it perfect? No, but I think that it's getting there. Okay. They're certainly working on it. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think makes Goosetown special to you?
Well, I mean, I've been down here a long time. But I see it kind of as a haven for artists. It's, you know, a lot of artists congregate down here and live here, live in the neighborhood, and that's artists of all type, musicians and actors and painters and sculptors, and I think that's cool. I like that.
What do you think makes Goosetown special then to Evansville as a city?
Well, it's one of the oldest neighborhoods in the city. It's a lot of history. It's, in essence, it's kind of where Evansville began.
That leads me to my next question. What do you know about Goosetown's history?
Well, not as much as I wish I knew, because honestly, I couldn't honestly tell you why it's even called Goosetown. Kind of would surmise it, because it's such an old neighborhood, it probably had something to do with geese. You know, we're close to the river. I don't know.
Do you know when Goosetown was established?
Exactly. No, I really don't. I don't. So, I probably don't. I don't know as much as I think I do. Okay.
Do you know who the first people who lived in this area were?
In this area? Well, I mean, a lot of the Evansville's, you know, first city fathers. A lot of the money was down here. If you look at, you know, the historic district that's just a few blocks away from us, I mean, the Iglehearts were down here, the Ingalls, the Wrightses. I mean, they weren't like right here, you know, on Jefferson Avenue. They were, you know, First Street and Riverside area. I do know that my great-great-grandfather, who was a German immigrant here, he came to Evansville. I think he came in about 1852. I know he lived just two blocks away from here, not long after the Civil War. He lived about two or three blocks going toward Parrot. So I believe he lived in a boarding house, and so what that tells me is that this probably was not one of the more really affluent areas, because I think he was a shoemaker. And of course he was German, you know.
Do you know why those first people moved to Goosetown?
No.
Do you know how those beginning people, when you spoke about your grandfather, how they influenced Goosetown?
Well, with trades, commercially, you know, they came here wanting to be able to work and have a better life, for sure. We do know that about the Germans. And they were willing to work hard to get it. And I do know that he did, the very little that I know about him. He wasn't the only person in my family that I found out just through, you know, well, Ancestry.com and every, you know, Willard Library, doing my family genealogy. I know that I had several family members in that time who lived in this area just within, you know, walking distance from where I am. And I believe that they all boarded in someone's house. One woman would have been my great aunt. Was a domestic, and I've seen through city directories that she worked all over this area. I mean, it seemed like every year she was boarding and working as a domestic in a different area of, or a different address of this area, though. She was on First Street, so I know she must have worked for some of the more affluent people, and I know she worked and lived down not far from where I am right now, too.
You mentioned that your family, or that you had lived here twice. Then did you grow up here?
No, I actually grew up on New York Avenue, which is close to St. Benedict Church area. I grew up in a Catholic neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We were one of two Protestant or Presbyterian families on our block. And my grandmother lived there. My parents got divorced. And we had been living on at 719 East Chandler, which is only about five blocks from here, five, six blocks. My parents got divorced, and my mother and us kids moved to my grandmother's on New York Avenue, South New York. So I grew up over there. When I was in college, by then my dad was with us, and we moved over by Bossy High School. And actually, my very first apartment I had when I was 20 years old, and I was a college student, was at 727 Southeast 3rd Street, which is not really Goosetown. It's not in the Goosetown neighborhood. I don't know if it's Blackford Grove or which neighborhood it's in, but it's just blocks from here. And I lived there for about, I don't know, not quite a year. And I just liked it. I've worked downtown. I liked having my apartment downtown. I can't really say what it is about the area. I just like it.
Like it?
It's where I like to be, yeah.
When you spoke about your ancestor being a tailor, do you know, or a shoemaker, do you know what other types of businesses were here in previous years?
Well, I mean, downtown was, and the north side of downtown, you know, across Division Street, was all growing, and it was growing really rapidly. Posters, you know, there were saloons, restaurants, hotels, inns, clothing stores, blacksmiths, you know, I mean, they were still riding horses back then. Drug stores, what did they call them back then? Apothecaries, I think, yeah.
What types of businesses are there here now?
In this area? In Goosetown? Well, there's a little grocery store around the corner. It's it reminds me of a bodega in New York. That's what they call them. They're just little stores, neighborhood stores. Well, not far from here. Okay, we have Kirby's. It's, you know, Kirby's. We got the Boca Lounge.
What is Kirby's?
Kirby's is, it's in a really, really large old home. And it takes up, I think, two houses now. I do remember I had a friend that lived in one of the houses when I was in college. He had an apartment. They were, you know, rented out apartments in all of these houses back then. Kirby's is a place where people rent for parties, receptions, dinners. It's gorgeous. It's expensive. It's nice, you know, and it's in a really huge, beautiful place. I remember one of Evansville's first really big health food stores was in one of those houses back in 1970. While I was pregnant, 1977, it was called the Commons. It was called the Commons at the Corner. And they had, you know, all different kinds of health foods and vitamins. And it was a really popular place to shop, I know, for a while. I cannot really remember when it went out of business. There was a guy, Danny Baumgart, that had a little pub down there for years, and he just closed it recently, like maybe in the last 6 months. It's right across from Kirby's. And he's been in there probably since late 70s, maybe early 80s. And of course, the movie theater has been, you know, a work in progress. The Alhambra has been a work in progress for years. I do remember back in the 70s and 80s, there were businesses still at what is called Haney's Corner. There was a drugstore and pharmacy. I think they had a little restaurant in there. I remember when I was a little girl, there was a pet store down, I think on the Washington side, and I might be wrong about some of the placements there, but I can remember our dad walking us down. Pretty sure that's where the pet store was.
What is Haney's Corner?
Haney's Corner is the plaza area down the Washington Avenue, Adams Street area, First Street, Second Street, Second Street comes through there. It's the plaza. It's where the Alhambra is. Okay, for a long time, that was called Haney's Corner because the Haneys, which was another family, I think, that's been around in Evansville history for a long time, owned part of it, had businesses down there. And in the 70s, it became kind of that's when that part of the neighborhood, the 60s and 70s, it started getting bad. I mean, it had been the affluent, you know, area, safe area, and all of a sudden, it kind of started giving way to, like, prostitution, drug dealing, people just, you know, hanging out. A lot of people were afraid to go down there, considered it a dangerous area. And when I was in high school, the joke was always, if you're looking for, you know, anything, you know, Haney's Corner is where you go. You can always go to something.
You mentioned the Alhambra. What is that?
The Alhambra is an old movie theater that's about 100 years old. And in its heyday was, you know, a popular movie theater that showed, you know, top-rated films. It kind of went down the tubes too, and, you know, fell into disrepair and disarray, and it just sat there and was just basically falling to pieces. Then in the 1980s, I think it was probably the early 80s, late 70s, a lot of people started doing fundraising events and, you know, making the effort to try and restore it, because there was still a lot really good about it. And I know I can recall going to some concerts down there. You know, a lot of times they would have bands playing there. I went to a lot of concerts. I know a lot of people that did. And then there have been a couple organizations or groups that have come in over the years to try to save the Alhambra and restore it. The outside is beautiful now, and it's looked good for quite a while. And I mean, I think a lot of what's gone on with that has helped the neighborhood, just because it looks nice. You know, when your surroundings look good, you feel better about where you are. I think it has prompted a lot of people to come into the Arts District, to want to live down there and to want to work down there and to want to see something happen with this, you know, really, I mean, really, it's a really unique area.
What other important sites can you tell me about then in Goosetown?
Well, this church, Potter's Wheel, before it was the Potter's Wheel, was First Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And First Cumberland Presbyterian Church, the cornerstone says 1911, so the building has been here now 102 years. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church that built this building bought this property, and what had been here before was the first Jewish cemetery in Evansville. I don't know how far the cemetery went back, but I mean, I think it went pretty far back. I don't think it was terribly huge, but I do know that it took up the area of Jefferson, Governor to Madison, and I don't know how far the west it would have gone. But I know that First Cumberland Presbyterian Church had already established itself here as a church. And I believe their church was about two blocks away from here. I could be wrong about that, too. I should have done my homework.
Was there a Jewish synagogue then here?
No, there wasn't a synagogue on the spot. Someone told me at one time that there was a Jewish temple just down the block, and I don't know that that's true. I mean, he may have meant in another spot, but I don't think it was just, you know, three or four doors down. I think the cemetery was here, right smack on this corner where we're sitting. And when the First Cumberland congregation bought this property, the bodies were exhumed from the cemetery, or what remains could be exhumed were, and were transferred out to, there's a cemetery next to the Evansville Country Club on Stringtown, at Stringtown and Buena Vista. I think it's called Rose Hill, but it's a Jewish cemetery, and what remains, I guess, were found, were taken out there and reburied. And
I think Lawrence needs to help her with the count because Dan and them not here for the offering.
They're not here. They should be here.
I haven't seen them in a while. She hasn't seen them yet.
I can't right now. I will come in a minute.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Oh, well, I don't know where everybody is today.
Can you tell me about what historical impact events had an impact on Goosetown?
What historical?
Mm-hmm. Would anything happen in history that maybe had an impact on the neighborhood, like the flood of 1937?
The flood of 1937, well, I know this area was pretty much covered. A lot of it was covered with water. As far as the flood, I've seen pictures. I've seen a lot of pictures of this area, and Washington Avenue was on. One of the areas that was really hard hit was the Washington Avenue area going from downtown east. At that point, my grandparents, my grandma, they did not live in this area. They lived over in another area, more on the north side. I don't really... I know that I have relatives who lived down here during that time. I've seen pictures of properties that I know my great-grandfather, one of my great-grandfathers, owned. He owned some homes on Washington Avenue and in the East Branch Library area, Baird Park area. It's not really Goosetown, it's closed, but, and I know that a lot of it was covered by water. So.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe the people who live in Goosetown today?
The people who live in Goosetown? A mixed lot, for sure. Mixed bunch, mixed bag, whatever. There's a lot of elderly people that still live in this area and have lived down here for a long time. A lot of families. See a lot of college students and a lot of transients, you know, people who are just kind of stay in one place for a short time and then move on to the next. With the new homes that are being built, hopefully we're going to have more of a middle-class blend kind of come in. And I would love to see it as an area that's, you know, family-friendly. But, you know, you have to be able to convince people that it's safe. You know, that it's a safe place for you to bring your kids. And if you're going to buy a huge home, most people don't buy huge homes if they're not planning on having kids or if they, you know, don't already have them. Mm-hmm. So there has to be something for them.
Do you think it's a very diverse neighborhood?
Yeah, I think it's really diverse.
Why do you say that?
Because there's every socioeconomic as far as like money. There's people with a lot of money down here. There's a lot of people who have absolutely, you know, nothing. There's Hispanic, African-American, there's white, there's Asian, homosexual, heterosexual, like, you know. I like that. I like that diversity. I like being around all kinds of people.
How does that work in the community?
I think that for this area, I think that a lot of the people in this area are really, they're accepting. And it's because a lot of them have been down here for a long time. I think you're going to get along in an area like this if you're not real picky. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of undesirables too. It's maybe not the right word to use, but you know, there's a lot of bad things that can happen, I guess. But
what's a regular day like for you in Goose Town?
A regular day, like, well, if it's a work day, it's, you know, come to work at the Potter's Wheel and deal with the diversity of people who come in here. We have drug addicts, we have prostitutes, we have preachers, we have little kids, we have big kids, we have, you know, elderly white people who are on a fixed income, elderly black people who are on a fixed income.
What do you typically do then in the evenings after work?
In the evenings, go home and watch TV. Diversion. I go home for the diversion.
Do you think others have you similar types of days?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, what are some of the ways that people in this community are brought together?
Through the churches. There are a lot of, you know, churches and outreach organizations down here who try to bring people together. Just the neighborhood associations. I think the neighborhood associations have been, for the most part, have been good at reaching out to trying to get, I mean, I know it's been hard for Goose Town at times. I've been attending the meetings for a long time, and sometimes you might, you know, we'd see 6 or 7 people. But they're getting bigger, and so that tells me, well, you know, people are more interested. And it kind of, we all hear this, you know, back in the old days, but I can remember back in like the 50s and the 60s, when I was growing up, neighborhoods, everybody knew everybody. Even if you weren't great friends, you knew each other. And, you know, that would at least bring you together. Even if just maybe once or twice a year, you would go to someone's wedding or you would go to something, but people would pull together and, everybody knew everyone's kids. You don't see that anymore. People are more private. But what I do like about this area, and I know I'm rambling here, but because I'm trying to, is I think being here in the Potter's Wheel, you just get involved with people because you see them all the time. I'm sorry, that probably made no sense at all.
Well, what types of cultural events are there in the community that bring people together?
Well, I think, you know, there's our thing that we do every 4th of July, the block party. That, at least, you know, as far as what the Potter's Wheel does, brings people together. Again, the churches, you know, holidays. The cookouts that different neighborhoods associations do, but like down here, we do an Easter egg hunt every year down in the park, and anybody can come to that. You know, we encourage anybody to come to our events. It's not just for, you know, people who are used to coming here. I mean, we love it when new people come, and that's a form of reaching out. The arts organizations are doing things, you know, through the summer, and like with the movies, you know, showing the movies down at the Alhambra. Is that what you meant?
Yep. Yes, yeah. Okay. Community events, you know, like the Fall Festival and mm-hmm. other neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Does Goosetown have anything like that?
Well, they have the Goosetown Festival. I have to admit I haven't been to it for, you know, years. But, you know, we have that. We have, of course, you know, people are invited to, you know, the meetings. Different neighborhood associations set up their own things.
What are the roles of men in the community?
Well, I guess the roles of men are... I don't know.
Are they typically the breadwinners in the households? Are they typically the ones that work?
Well, for the homes that have men, like... Typically, I don't know that I can answer that, yes or no, I don't know. I have to say, I don't know. There are a lot of homes in this area that I know for certain do have a man in the house, but maybe don't have a lot of people working, or, you know. Yeah, typically, I would say just for the people that I know in the neighborhood, I'd say maybe half of them have a man in the family who works.
And what are the roles of women then in the community?
Some of them work and a lot of them don't. And there are a lot of families in this area where there are households with a man and a woman and a lot of kids and nobody works. Some of them are single parents and there's no one working. We see that a lot. We do see that a lot. But then, you know, we have a lot of retired people in this area and disabled.
How do most people in this area make a living?
Probably just about every job imaginable. I mean, you've got your CEOs and your church leaders, your outreach leaders. I mean, a lot of us live in this neighborhood. I've worked at the Potter's Wheel as long as I've lived, you know, pretty much on this spot. A lot of factory workers. I'm thinking of my neighbors right now. And just for the house that I live in, I can tell you one is a construction worker, one is a factory worker, one is a hospital worker. And I'm an outreach worker. My son and his family had been staying with me. My son is a customer service. So, you know, you've got everything down here.
What draws people to, if they have jobs in this area, what draws them to work here? To stay locally in the neighborhood to work?
In this neighborhood? Well, if someone is in this neighborhood, if they're not a homeowner, let's say they're renters, could be the low rents. The access of more apartments that are not in apartment complexes and buildings. You know, a lot of people prefer that type of living.
And why do you think that people stay in this neighborhood?
Well, I think the ones that stay, I mean, you know, you got to have, you know, there's either the reason that you're happy and your living situation is good, or, you know, you can't get out, you know. And I think you can be some of both. There's a lot of poor people in this area, and a lot of them, and you can look from one house to the next. You can walk down one block and you can look at like maybe 10 different houses, and you're going to see a different situation in each one. One of them might be immaculate and, you know, beautifully restored and have somebody in there making, you know, 5-6 figures a year. And then, you know, two doors down, you've got a renter who's in a place owned by a slumlord. And they're about to be kicked out. I think as far as beautifying the neighborhood, it's a lot better than it was because they've knocked down a lot of the monstrosities.
Why do you think people do leave the neighborhood then?
Why do they leave? Well, either to, you know, for bigger and better, or if they're, you know, a lot of people don't feel safe down here still. A lot of people still feel that, you know, this is where you live when you're poor. This is, you know, this is where the poor and the destitute are. A lot of people don't know downtown, though.
Okay. And why do you stay in the neighborhood?
Well, it's like I said before, you know, I've been down here a long time. I know a lot of people all over the area. I like it down here. I'm comfortable, but I consider myself blessed right now in that I have a nice place to live. I'm in an apartment, but it's nice, and I like it. It's in an old house. It's got things about it that are very old and have been there since the house was built, and I love that. I'm close to work. I mean, I'm across the street from where I work, so see, you know, I'm probably, you know, that's a drawing point. I might as well stay. It's easy. I do have a car, but there have been times when, you know, I was without transportation. It's not much wear and tear on my car. That's why I stay. So, no, but I mean, I love it down here. I love my neighbors. I feel safe. People know me. People know me from coming in here, and they know me from the neighborhood. I like that. I'm, you know, it's a comfortable feeling for me. Now, some people don't. Some people don't want that much of their privacy out. But I mean, hundreds of people who come to the Potters, we all know that I live across the street, and I've been here a long time, so they know me, and that doesn't bother me. I feel protected. I feel like if ever anybody was bothering me, there were people I could go to, and I could say, hey, will you help me out here? And I feel protected, truly.
So when you look back at Goosetown as a whole, how has the neighborhood, do you think, changed overall over the years?
Over the years? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's gone from being an affluent place, you know, a place with beautiful historic architecture, some of Evansville's oldest houses, into run down, just almost squalor in places, to high crime areas with prostitution and, you know, violent crime, drugs, alcohol, you know, anything illegal you can think of. And it's back up on an upswing now. People are starting to, you know, look at it again as a place that, you know, no, let's don't let it go down. You know, it's too historic. It's too beautiful. Fix it. You know, why don't we fix what we already have, you know?
What changes, then, would you like to see made in Goosetown today?
Well, I would still like to see more things for kids down here. I mean, we've got the little parks, but more street lights. I would like to see that. They're working on the houses, so, you know, get some of the monstrosities down. There's been a really big police presence in, you know, recently. Although, as long as I've lived here, like the last, say, 7 years, I can honestly say I think that the Evansville Police Department's done a great job as far as, you know, getting down here when needed. When I first moved here, when I was first back from New York in 2006, I don't know how many times. I was living next door at the time. I don't know how many times I called the police because of things that were going on. And, I mean, things that I could see right out my window, fighting. Bad fighting, that street fighting. See, all of that has stopped. So, I mean, a lot of progress has been made, and it's being made, and a lot of it, like with the street gangs, you know, all they can do, all the city can do is continue to work on it and be mindful of its presence. And, I mean, that's really all I can ask for. I've seen progress, so I'm not one to complain a whole lot about it, because I think that progress has been made, continues to be made, and I think that they are trying. I would love to see them eventually get the inside of the Alhambra working. I mean, the outside's beautiful, but for God's sake, you know, how long is it going to take? I mean, I was a young woman when they first started working on the Alhambra. I can remember it. I remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, let's fix the Alhambra. I would love to see that done. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more. I grew up in theater and the arts, and so I'm all for bringing the artists in down here. I want to see the arts district grow.
So if you had to briefly describe Goosetown to somebody from another state who wasn't familiar with mm-hmm. it, how would you describe Goosetown?
One of the most unique neighborhoods in Evansville, Indiana. Historic and old, full of bright, diverse, colorful people. Beautiful in the fall, close to the river.
Is there anything else that you can think of about Goosetown that you would like to share with us or you think would be interesting for people to learn about or know about?
I'd love to be able to give you some really strong comment, but I feel like I've said so much.
That's okay. If there's something else
Sorry, Kathleen.
That you really, you know, really think that you would like to share.
Just, I don't know, take care of what's old, you know, take care of what's old, you know, fix what you have to, fix it before it can't be fixed.
You mean the community as a whole?
The community? I don't know, I'm probably talking more about the houses there, but this area has gotten a bad rap over the years as being, you know, a scary place to be. It's not so scary.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for helping us with your project. Do you have any questions for me? Okay. Then
I don't feel like I really gave you much.
You did. You gave me a good overview. So this is the informed consent then. And if you could sign and date
right
that.
Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry for the interruption.
That's okay.
Do you see what I mean by colorful people?
Mm-hmm.
If you could just sit here, like, for when church is over, and see, it's something like the little lady that was coming up, and she's got issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really sweet. And I have no idea what she's talking about here. But you can't hit, you know, but she's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of you to help her.
I'm trying to.
Then this also is a copy of a contact letter I'd like to give you, and it also has that contact information for Dr. Howard at USI.
Okay.
If you were to have any questions then about the
okay.
process or anything. And thank you very much for helping me.